Welcome to the Empower, Solve, Protect podcast, hosted by David Levine, founder and CEO of Go West IT, the cybersecurity-obsessed managed service provider. The Empower, Solve, Protect podcast explores digital transformation strategies and the journeys of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders.
Hello and welcome. I want to introduce you all to our guest today, Adam Roderick with DataTier. Adam is the CEO of DataTier, and DataTier specializes in data management, data analytics via visualization and real-time reporting for data-driven decisions. Adam and I have had a couple conversations before. I'm really looking forward to this today. Adam, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it, David. Thanks for having me.
Can you start off by just telling people a little bit about yourself, maybe how you got here, how you ended up at DataTier running this company, and so we know who we're visiting with?
Sure. My background has been a lot in software engineering, software product development, and I got into data, and it was a really interesting space. It was kind of 5 or 10 years behind all the good practices in software engineering. But what's interesting is everybody has ambitions about what they want to do with data. But it's really hard to get there. And the market, I think, especially like on the SMB market, is they have these ambitions, but maybe not the resources or the capability in their companies to actually realize what they're trying to do. So that was the initial idea behind DataTier, is try to bring all the big company capabilities so that they're able to leverage data the way they want to in a way that SMBs can actually accommodate and use.
Yeah, I'm glad you started talking about companies, particularly SMB companies, using data. I talk with businesses all the time for a myriad of reasons, vendors that we use, customers that we work with, just other people running businesses. And I think the topic of data management comes up very frequently. And one thing that's interesting to me is the different stages that businesses are in their journey to really leveraging data. I think the AI frenzy, particularly around large language models, has probably driven some of that. But what's interesting to me is that I almost have to find out from a business where they are in that data journey, how mature they are from a data management standpoint, almost before we can really get into the nuts and bolts of any deeper discussions about how they might use data or leverage AI. Is there anything that you use to kind of figure out a business's maturity level when it comes to where they are with data? Is there a way that you kind of gauge that, or do you have stages that you think about?
Yeah. I've heard the term AI readiness a lot, because I think people see what's possible with AI, with especially generative AI like ChatGPT, this conversational interface. And I think that's fueled people's ambitions about what they want to do with data and how they want to impact their business. But you're right, it's at all different levels of maturity. And I really don't think it's actually that different from, when people see like a great data visualization or a great dashboarding tool. Even 5 years ago, they want that. Like, they could see how that can impact their business. They could see how they can make this data come alive and actually help them make decisions. But they don't have maybe that data foundation underneath of all the data in one place. It's organized, it's meaningful, and they can actually use it to visualize, which is the tip of the iceberg. And I think some of the AI stuff recently is another, it's the top layer. It's the thing that people can, it's tangible and people can see it and understand it. But if there's not that data foundation underneath, you really can't make use of that top layer and get the value out of it. And I think there's a lot of maturity frameworks and things like that, but I think there's just a few, for me, there's just a few stages. One is like, we're all on spreadsheets. Everybody's doing the best they can, like manually pulling data out of systems and trying to make sense of it. There's really no like standardized way of calculating metrics or presenting that story that the data is trying to tell. And most companies go through that stage as they're growing. They hit a stage of it, just not everything fits in everybody's head anymore. And so they're trying to manually put all this together. I think the next stage is maybe they get some analyst or somebody that actually really starts to understand the data behind the business and can communicate that. So it's not a real technical state, but at least somebody kind of becomes the go-to person. And so that might be a level two. And then a level three is they realize we really need to like standardize some of this. We need to have canonical definitions of what is a customer, what is revenue, like some of the basics, and how are we calculating all this. And to do that, you need a data warehouse or something, somewhere where you can pull all that data together in one place from across the business. So I'd say that's level three, is you've pull all that data together. And then for me, the last level is more of like, is this become part of our culture? Are people actually using the data? Are they looking at the reports? Are they building their own reports and exploring it on their own? Would be a level four. So even though there's a lot of different ways you could look at maturity, I just look at those four levels.
That's interesting. As you were describing those, and I agree with you with the, about those stages, but I don't know that I've heard someone articulate it as smoothly as you just did. I found myself thinking about where Go West IT was in relationship to those stages. We are definitely not stage one anymore. We've been there for sure. We've been at the place where we were really good at pulling data out of systems, a lot of disparate systems, and trying to match it up. But that was a stage where every time we needed an answer to a question, we would have to go pull the data and massage it, and pull the data and massage it, and pull the data and massage it. And it was tedious and not very efficient. We've moved past that. I don't know. Now I think we're somewhere between 2, 3, and 4. And it depends on what exactly, what data we're talking about. And certainly from an adoption standpoint, from our people and really living it every day, where we oscillate, I think. And that's probably normal too. Our data, you know, maturity path started with the realization that we did have a lot of platforms that didn't really talk very well together. We had a lot of out-of-the-box integrations, if you will, but they weren't data-driven. They were more just pointing at each other, I would say, and maybe moving some data back and forth, but it wasn't really at the point that we could use analytics. When we started getting serious about the end in mind, you know, we'd like to be able to see this. We'd like to be able to know this data in real time so that we can use it to make decisions or predict something that's happening. That's when our journey really became more about the data and less about the answer that we were seeking, was with that end in mind. So I love the way you characterized the examples. I think a key turning point for us was figuring out that we needed someone who was just going to be kind of our data management person, data custodian, data owner, a resource. I think you do that for people. That's one of the ways that you step in and help them. Is that true? I should stop there and make sure that's the decision. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. I think a lot of companies in the SMB market like don't know that there's alternatives, and one natural path is, well, we got to go hire somebody who's a specialist in this. And do you hire somebody really technical who can get the data moving and get the data engineering working? Do you hire somebody who's more of an analyst who really understands your business and can apply the data well? Or do you hire somebody who's more like a designer that can actually get the report to communicate what you're trying to communicate? So there's all these skills, but then there's also a process. Like once you're automating, there's a lot of moving parts. And what happens if your CRM break something upstream and that data is not flowing anymore? So, you know, some folks will try to hire a team or try to hire an individual, like a unicorn type person that kind of has all these skills. Some will hire a consulting company to do a project. And that's part of why we founded Data Tier was, I don't think data is a project. I think it's a journey. It's a capability that companies are trying to grow. And that makes hiring a consultant for a project pretty difficult, because they hand it back to you, well, that's just a V1, and now you're really learning how to actually use everything. So that's part of why we hired Data Tier, and that is what we do. It's like, we'll just plug in, we've already got the infrastructure, we've got the operations and processes, so we can just start focusing on this journey aspect of like, what are the questions you need answered? What data do you have access to? And how are we gonna get you, you know, to a V1 in weeks instead of this months or years long struggle that some companies go through? Mm-hmm.
I think our businesses are similar in that regard. We're an IT managed service provider. So we're doing a lot of things for our customers day in, day out behind the scenes that they wouldn't necessarily know to pick up the phone and ask for. They're, you know, it's rare the customer would say, hey, did you check the antivirus today? Did you check the firewall, the firmware version? Are we up to date? They're just expecting that we're doing that for them. So managed services day in, day out. And then every single customer has something specific that comes up. We're moving to a different platform. How are we going to connect to it? We want to upgrade the way we're dealing with our voice communications. How are we going to deal with that? So that's the project aspect of it. But there's still a lot of day-to-day work behind the scenes. So would you say Data Tier is something of a managed service provider from the data management standpoint, and kind of melding those three roles together, the analytics, the data person, and the visualization person?
Yeah, I do. There's the managed service aspect, like let's just make sure everything keeps running and it's optimal, and we're managing costs and all of those things. But it's not just a tool. Like the last thing I think anybody wants is to go buy a tool or buy a bunch of tools, and then they still have to learn those tools and put them into place. So as much innovation as there's been in like SaaS products and tools that can kind of help make data engineering a little bit easier or faster, there's still this personal aspect that I think is really important, whether it's a project or an ongoing like relationship where you can explore with folks. And I think historically, whether it's IT or software or data, there's the technical folks that really understand what's possible, but don't know what to do. They need the business to tell them what to do. And then the business doesn't know what's possible. They know what they want to get done. Like you said, you know, we know what questions we want to get answered, but we just don't know how to go about it. And so that's always going to be person to person, right? Of those two sides really understanding each other to get the thing done.
And then in my experience, there's also a big piece in between what the business, what questions the business wants to have answered and the technical people that can get it done. And that's user adoption. So to really, you know, to get to that level four of data management and data utilization, you have to have your all your people embrace and use it. And boy, the gap between what the business wants and what the technical people can do and then getting everybody to use it is often a huge chasm. And I think that's the part that requires so much constant work together. That's where some project focus becomes very problematic, because projects have a start and an end. Well, in reality, the business doesn't just end with a project. It's really the beginning of utilization and adoption and all those sorts of things. So that's where it sounds like, you know, the way you think about this makes more sense to me from my real world experience about how technology is used. It's not project based. It's evolutionary, if you will.
Yeah, I really like how you said that. I think it is evolutionary or a journey. And going back to this idea of levels, it's very intuitive and natural to say, okay, we need to get from level one to level two, so let's get all of our data together. Or we need a data culture, so let's get everybody trained and those are the projects that go really long and they take forever, and you end up with kind of lackluster results because you're just trying to do this big push. But if we flip that and slice it a little differently, you can take one audience, maybe it's one department, maybe it's one executive, and get them all the way to a level four, right? Just answering a small subset of questions that they really need, that they're passionate about, and doing that quickly in a matter of weeks. Now they are at a level four and they're relying on this data. And then you take the next slice and you find the next audience or a deeper question, and you go through all of those levels. So your entire business maybe is sitting at a level two or level one. You're still kind of manually pulling for the most part, but you've all of a sudden, you're realizing this value slice by slice all the way through. And so then you start to develop this data culture just slice by slice instead of trying to lift the whole company at once.
Yeah, you also get then individual contributors starting to understand the potential, and then just the kind of people that you want on your team who will dive in and just start to use it. So I know just recently at GoWest IT, I was made aware of something that we are doing that I had no idea was in the works. I don't know that it was certainly not something that was on an initiative board or anything that we had collectively decided to do. But a couple of individuals said, wouldn't it be nice if, and they just kind of took that to fruition. And it is that, you know, we're going to have some reporting that is basically always up to date for a customer. And when the customer calls and asks for it, it'll be just a matter of sending the current version. In a format that we didn't really think was, no one had even thought to ask it before. So that's when, you know, the real power starts to become evident. And I think data engineering and analytics, it's sometimes hard to calculate the ROI real specifically. So I think as leaders, sometimes we have to recognize those little shifts in productivity, efficiency, momentum that resulted from the investment in data and data, ongoing data management, to really be able to justify what is a lot of effort to make it work right.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds like you're starting to see that flywheel turn of like you had this experience of, you know, you've got your data to a point that it's usable. You've got your culture to a point like that level four that people understand what's available to them and what they might be able to do. And then now they've taken the initiative and actually done something that wasn't part of your centralized controlled, you know, data work. but you've created this capability in your company that people, individual contributors, can then take and do more than they could do otherwise.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about how you get started with a business and how you even get introduced? I know you've got a great website, but I suspect that if you're like most small businesses, there's a lot of referral activity. Let me wave my hand so my lights go back on here. A lot of referral activity. And, how is it that you get introduced to people? And then how do you start with a customer? How do you figure out where they are on that journey and then get engaged with them?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do have the website, so folks will find us sometimes. But more often than not, we work with vendors that are in this space, BI tools or data warehouses, and they will refer in our managed IT companies, IT services companies. So referrals are a big deal, and mostly because this is important. This is not like swipe a credit card and let's see if this works. This is an investment, a strategic move that companies are making. Before they even decide to contact somebody like Data2, at some point, the executive team or a champion has said, we're going to do this. We're going to make use of our data, and we're going to level up this capability for all the right reasons. So for us, we try to understand the situation. We do have an operating model that's pretty standardized, and we're optimized around SMBs. We're not out chasing like Fortune 500 companies, and everything's super customized and takes, expensive to put it all together. We've got a platform and a process that really works well with SMBs. And so when we're talking to them, we're really just saying, like, who are the audiences that you're trying to address? And if it's too long of a list, let's start with just the first few so we can slice it. What questions are they trying to answer? And what data do you have available either in your business or accessible to you that might be able to answer those questions? And so once we can kind of put together that first slice, then we implement that in just a few weeks. And so by the end, you're actually, it's all automated. The data is flowing in. It's being organized and it's being presented out in a visual way to the audience to answer that specific question for them that they need answered or help them make the decision. And so from there, it's just an iteration, like how fast do you want to move? How big do you want to go? Or do we just need to keep that operating for a while? So companies can go bigger or go faster, but it's always in that iterative slicing motion.
Yeah. Do you mind if we shift and talk a little bit about data security? Data privacy. Sure. I don't know that you're an expert in that realm, but I think you do offer some services around security. And I know that the connections that allow data to flow between SaaS applications or on-prem infrastructure, or maybe just between a couple of clouds, or even just between a cloud and an analytics front end, a Tableau or a Power BI or something like that. All those connections create risk from a security standpoint. So there's always some sort of a key or credentials that are passed, and there's, do we allow from this source? Do we not allow from that source? Do you get involved talking to businesses about data security when it comes to the data warehouse and analytics and those data rivers that move the data around?
Yeah, you can't do something like this without having a plan for security. And I'm not the world's foremost expert in security by any means, but most of our customers are dealing with some sort of PII, personally identifiable information, or they're in healthcare, they're dealing with HIPAA. If they have any kind of European presence, there's probably GDPR, and California, Colorado, they all have their own kind of mini GDPR type regulations. But I like to think of it at a little bit higher level, and then we can get into details, but it's always just, where is my data? Is it flowing out from one server into some vendor server and back into where I control? So knowing where it's going and how many hops, it's taking. Access control, which I think is one that most people jump to and think about when they think about security, like who can see it? If I'm working with vendors, if I'm working with employees, if I'm outsourcing, like who can actually get access to the data at any point, with where it might be. And then the last would be like privacy, and do we have the right plan around privacy? And it doesn't have to be overly complicated, but are we excluding certain data from moving around and just realizing that that's going to be an acceptable weakness in our reporting if we don't have like email addresses in there? And that's usually okay to just exclude that PII type stuff. And if we are including some of that PII type information, are we taking measures to mask it or to randomize it or to exclude it from the accessibility? So where's it going? Who has access to it? How do they get that access? And then what are we doing about the privacy regulations are the three big areas for me.
Adam, you said you're not a security expert. I will tell you that what you just articulated about the distinction between PII and how you might deal with how you're managing PII by masking certain components of it that kind of pull it out of that legal bucket, or how you account for this is PII and therefore we're going to have these additional identity controls. You're thinking about that at a level that I don't know a lot of data people often talk with small businesses about, or are able to articulate it. So I commend you for that. We think about security all the time. I think it's, you mentioned kind of taking stock of where your data assets are. I think that's a great first step for any company. As you go down, you know, if a leadership team says, we want to start using our data better and apply analytics or maybe get AI ready, the first step is always just an assessment. Where are you? Where is your data? And I think if a leadership team and an IT team or a vendor actually sit around a table and start asking some questions, businesses are always surprised about how many places they are storing data. You know, people always start with, well, it's on the server or it's in this cloud. Well, it's also on some mobile devices and some laptops, and there's a NAS over here somewhere. There's, you know, something is holding some data, and doing that analysis to just figure out where it is, first step in security. Also, first step, as you said, and figuring out how you're going to pull that data together and use the important parts and, you know, set up the database keys properly so you'll be able to leverage it moving forward. And one thing I worry about when I start talking to businesses or other consultants about the challenges is all of this can seem daunting to a small business. When I talk cybersecurity, sometimes I see people's eyes glaze over, mm-hmm. and I worry that it will paralyze people from doing anything. And the message I try to send is, look, there is a whole big scary world out here. There's a whole bunch we can do to protect a business. Let's just start with figuring out where we are. Let's assess those assets. Let's figure out what we're trying to protect, and let's prioritize, you know, what's most important. Let's start there and try to keep people from being paralyzed.
Well, I think that helps make it tangible. When we talk about the cloud, or when we talk about AI, or when we say data warehouse, those aren't things that are tangible to most people. But when you sit down, like you said, and like, let's just map it out. Like, there are people, someone's managing the technology in your company. So they know what's there. And so by just saying, we just need to know where our data is, let's draw that map. It's actually not that hard of an exercise. And then it makes it really tangible. Like, I can see my data is flowing here into this database and then into these mobile devices, right? Like, but it's there, it's tangible, it can be mapped out. And then, like you said, it's easy to set that roadmap and just start chipping away if you have things to chip away at and improvements that you need to make. It's actually from there not that bad to just make a list. And at that point, you're managing it and it's very tangible.
Yeah. So you start with that initial list that you can assess around a table with the right individuals. And then almost inevitably, you're going to find some other place you're storing data. And that's great. Yeah. Once you've got the list, then you just add it to the list. Mm-hmm. You just get that put down. So that's great. Is there anything that you'd want to tell business leaders about kind of the horizon for data analytics, data management, data AI that we need to all keep in the back of our heads and or, you know, plan for?
Yes. And most people I talk to do understand what's possible, but they're almost embarrassed to tell me, like, but we're actually only at this level. We're like at barely level one. And they're almost embarrassed because they think everybody else has it figured out and they're ahead of the game, and they don't. The reality is, I think almost everybody's really struggling with this because possibilities are huge, but it can be a difficult thing to jump in. And all of this data excitement has led to a kind of a surge in this industry. There's a lot of people in this industry that have like 3 years experience or less. And so I think a lot of the struggle is, I'm going to go hire somebody, but I can only find, you know, junior folks. The senior folks are way too expensive. And so you get into this situation where you're making it harder on yourself, you know, and then it feels even bigger and even more daunting. And then you wonder why you can't make all this progress. So I think coming at it a little bit different way, like, we're going to see a lot of innovation around AI, a lot of different applications come out, and the ideas and the ambition and the possible impact are not going to go away. They're just going to get bigger. There's this foundational aspect that right now is really hard to understand and people feel like they're behind. You're probably not. So any investment you make there to get that foundation is going to actually get you ahead, even if you don't feel like you're hitting your, you know, your wild ambitions about what's actually possible in the long term.
Yeah, that's great. I don't think I could have said that any better, Adam. So I'm going to leave it there if that's okay with you. I think that was a great discussion. I really enjoy talking with other business leaders about these types of challenges, data, security, things that we're all grappling with. I like to grapple with it, and I really appreciate the time you spent with us today. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Empower, Solve, Protect, please subscribe, like, and tell a friend. The Empower, Solve, Protect podcast is sponsored by Go West IT, your expert guide to the digital frontier.